You are listening to the official podcast of the Mission Redlands. We are a growing community living out God's radical love.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. All right, let's do it one more time. Are you ready? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yeah, I wait for that all year. Man, I'm Pastor Jason. If you don't know, welcome to the Mission Redlands. And man, we are so glad you're here. Whether this is your first time, your third time, or your 200th time, you are family here today. So welcome to the family. And from this day forward, you always have family here. See? Yeah, that's right. I think that deserves like a woo. That's right. Look, everybody, I'm wearing dress shoes, so really breaking out the fancy stuff for Easter. You know, I wrestled a lot with this message, and you would think Easter is, for a pastor, is an easy one, like, duh, resurrection, like, you know, like, Jesus is alive, right? But I sat with the Lord for a long time on this message, and I really feel like he led me in a unique direction that I didn't really expect. And doubt is a funny thing. You know that to be true? Because someone can tell you something that is 100% true, right? And you cannot believe what they're saying. You can choose to not believe what they're saying. And if someone doesn't believe you, does that then make it not true? If you're telling something that is 100% true and they don't believe you, does that make it not true? Good answer. Of course not, because something that is true whether they doubt it or not, right? And there are many things I think that can cause doubt, but I believe one of the primary causes of doubt is preconceived notions, like thinking about what they're going to say before they say it and accepting that as truth, right? You understand that? In my personal life, with my family, I try to cause as much doubt as possible. Like, I try because I don't ever want them to know, like, if I'm joking or not, right? And I want them to be kind of suspect, right? You know? And so it's taken 17 years, but I finally got my son to the point where he recognizes that the outlandish answer to his question is actually a joke. He'll be like, oh, you're joking again, Dad. Eye roll. But the joke is really on me because now I can tell them something that is 100% true and my family doesn't believe me. Right? The other day, Mr. T came up. Who remembers Mr. T? Right? Pity the fool, right? If you don't know who Mr. T is, this right here is him. Right here. I'm going to get out of the way. This is him. And man, I should break out those gold chains like on Easter Sunday next year, okay? Next year I'm going to wear the gold chains. But I told my family that I had met Mr. T in person. And that's just outlandish enough that they didn't believe me. They didn't believe me at all. Like, it took a long time to convince them. I don't even know if they still believe me, honestly, but it's true. It's the fact of the matter is it's true. I have met Mr. T when I was a teenager, and my friend and I went to a boxing match, and he was a guest referee, and he was kind enough to come around and greet some of the fans, and I got to chat with him a little bit, right? And now T, which is what he asked me to call him, T and I just, you know, we kick it all the time. Okay, that part's not true, but the rest of it is true. Wink, you don't really know, do you? Just kidding, yeah, it is true. But just because my family didn't believe me on the inside, I'm like, it's true. right? But the fact that they didn't believe me didn't make it any less true, right? Jesus said a lot of things about himself throughout his earthly ministry. The time that he was on earth, he said a lot of things about himself. Some people believed what he said. Others thought he was either a madman, a lunatic, or crazy, right? But every single word that Jesus said while he was on earth was true, right? Over the last 7 weeks, we've been on a journey to discover who this Jesus is that we are celebrating today, and who he really is, not just what we've heard about him, not just like what your grandma who used to drag you to church said about him, but who the Bible says he actually is. Now, this series hasn't been all-inclusive because it would take months to break down who Jesus was to everyone that he encountered. And even with months, we would only be scratching the surface, right? And for his followers that were with him while he was in the flesh, all the time, Jesus would be saying things about himself that hadn't even come to pass yet, right? He was saying things that were going to happen in the future but hadn't happened yet. Like in John 10, 11, he said, "I am the good shepherd. I'm the good, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep," right? One, he wasn't a shepherd, right? He wasn't a physical shepherd that chased around goats, right? And two, he hadn't laid down his life yet. Yes, he did leave his life in heaven to come to earth, but he hadn't yet laid down his life for his followers, his sheep, his metaphorical sheep, right? And so not only is he using a metaphor there, but he's saying something that hasn't happened yet, right? And so I think most of his followers believed him, even though they didn't understand, right? But the trouble is that they believed Jesus within the framework of their own preconceived notions, right? Their own preconceived notions. What they thought about Jesus to be true, that's what they believed about Jesus. They took everything he said and filtered it through their own preconceived notions. The Jewish people had been waiting for thousands of years for the Messiah God had promised would save them. Messiah, if you don't know, Messiah means savior or deliverer. And so the Jewish people had been waiting and waiting for this Messiah, this savior, this deliverer, who they thought would take up the sword, defeat their enemies, and this person would become their new king. Right? Their new king. Now, Jesus shows up, and all the signs point to that he is the Messiah they've been waiting for. So naturally, they assumed that Jesus would behave like the Messiah that they had envisioned all this time. But the problem is that Jesus was a king of peace. He wasn't about to take up the sword, right? And he kept telling people that he kept telling people the same thing very explicitly over and over again, you know, but their preconceived notions were so deeply ingrained that even some of Jesus's closest friends were confused by how contradictory what he was expressing he had come to do with what they believed this Messiah that God was going to send, you know, was supposed to do, right? They put those preconceived notions on Jesus. Jesus even came out and simply told them the whole plan, the whole plan. Matthew 17, 22 through 23 says this: "After they gathered again in Galilee, Jesus told them, 'The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemy. He will be killed, but on the third day he will be raised from the dead. And the disciples were filled with grief. Now, I think the disciples believed him. They wouldn't have been filled with grief if they didn't, right? However, their preconceived notions about the Messiah kept them from fully believing the truth about God's plan for Jesus. Those preconceived notions caused them to be separated from what Jesus was saying. So Jesus' followers, when he died on the cross, that was a massive defeat for what they thought was going to happen, right? And the person who they believed would fight for them and free them from Roman rule was now dead in a tomb, right? And even though Jesus had told them plainly what was going to happen, they were left confused and unsure about what their time with Jesus was all about. Who's ever been confused and unsure about something with Jesus, right? There's a saying that says, if you follow Jesus long enough, you're bound to be disappointed because lots of times he doesn't act in the way we expect him to, right? He doesn't go the route that we expect him to. He doesn't do things the way we would, right? And so sometimes that causes disappointment. But Jesus is always perfect. He's always right on time, and he is always with us. So even though Jesus had told them plainly, they were his disciples, when Jesus was put in the tomb, they were left confused. They were grief-stricken and at the loss of their friend, but also they had a loss of hope because Jesus had been saying a lot of things this whole time. So not only did they lose their friend and they were grief-stricken at the loss of their friend, they were kind of at a place where they were lost for hope, right? But even in their doubt, like, even though Jesus laid out the whole plan right in front of them, even in their doubt, what Jesus was saying was 100% true, right? And that's where we pick up the account in Matthew 28. I'm going to pick it up at verse 1, Matthew 28. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, if you want to follow along on the screen, or if you want to read along on in your Bible or your iBible. Matthew 28, verses 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Well, let's just pause right there. Put your finger in that spot right there. So Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, which is commonly believed to be Mary, the mother of Jesus, they're going. Can you imagine how much they've been crying? The loss of their friend, if it is Mary, the mother of Jesus, the loss of someone who was a son to her. Can you imagine their eyes puffy? They're going to the tomb not expecting it to be empty. They're going to the tomb to prepare the dead body. They're going to put spices and things on him. So can you like put yourself in that moment, right? Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. I love that. He sat on it, right? And his face shone like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was laying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." And the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him and grasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." And can you imagine what the Marys were feeling in that moment? Immediately, any doubt or confusion that the two Marys had vanished. Because standing there before their very eyes was the man that they had just seen die an agonizing death on the cross. The man that they had watched as his body was removed from the cross and placed in the tomb. And the guards rolled a huge boulder over the cover of the mount to cover the mouth of the tomb, a boulder too heavy for even a couple of men to move, so that no one could steal Jesus' body and deceive people into thinking he was alive. And here, with no deception, the stone is rolled away right before them with the flick of an angel's wrist. And that boulder that was to keep death contained had now become nothing more than a footstool for the servant of God. I love that angel. I love that the angel gives the Marys the good news and instructions on what to do next. And the Marys go running because their doubt is gone. They hadn't even seen Jesus yet. And the angel says, come and see for yourself where his body was laying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasping his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." The angel says, "Go tell the disciples." And they take off running. And I love the next few words. As they went, they encountered the risen Jesus. They didn't wait for Jesus to show up with the angel. They took the angel's instructions, and as they went, as they took steps of faith, as their doubt was relieved, they went running and they encountered the living, resurrected Jesus. Not only were these women the first to see the resurrected Jesus, but they were the first to worship him and spread the word that he was alive. They were the first evangelists. The Marys didn't expect to be the first to see Jesus. They thought they were just the messengers to the male disciples. And yet, no matter how unlikely in that culture, Jesus chose these women to be the ones he revealed himself in the fullness of his resurrection life. And all doubt disappeared. The good news about Jesus is that he went from, The good news about Jesus isn't that he went from death to life. That's not it. The good news is that Jesus went from life to life. Death was just a pit stop. Jesus was born to life, and he went through death to resurrection life. You may have your doubts about the death and resurrection of Jesus. I personally, and this is just my opinion, I personally feel like the Christian church in America, particularly, in a lot of ways, has become an unsafe place for people to, for people with questions and with doubt. But if you came here this Easter Sunday with questions and doubts, I want to tell you that this is a safe place. We are so glad that you took the risk and joined us today. Because having doubts is not something to be ashamed of. It just means you're in process. And it's okay to be in process. In fact, many of us here at one point or another had doubts about Jesus. I did. Anybody else? No matter how unlikely you think it is that Jesus can encounter you, I promise you, Jesus can reveal himself to you no matter who you are or what you've done. Unlikely people have been encountering Jesus for centuries. And so you're in good company. Not only the Marys we read about, but a few verses later, Jesus visits his direct disciples, and the Bible says that even with the resurrected Jesus in their presence, some of them doubted. Jesus showed them the nail scars in his hands and the split in his side, and then most of them believed. An even more extreme example I can think of is a man named Saul, who was a person who not only persecuted the early church, but actually helped murder Christians. One encounter with Jesus and his whole life turned upside down. Literally, Jesus changed his name from Saul to Paul. And he ended up writing a large chunk of the New Testament Bible. Think about that. Going from persecuting the church to writing and encouraging and instructing churches. That's a transformation right there. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to a church that had been with him, and he had taught them before. They believe in Jesus' death at this point on the cross, but they have started to doubt that he rose again. And Paul says to them this in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 10. I pass on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins. Just as the scriptures said, he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures had said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of them who are still alive today, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles, last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me. See, no matter what you think about Jesus, I know in my heart that every word Jesus said is true. Because as a very lost troublemaker and a person who believed that if there was a God, he certainly wasn't good, I encountered Jesus. And everything changed for me. My whole world turned upside down. And I want nothing more than that encounter for you. To the people here today who are already followers of Jesus, I want to say to you that there is nothing more powerful than your story of encountering Jesus. So I want you to share it. Like maybe not right now, but I want you to share it. And I don't want you to go knock on someone's door and try to share it. I want you to share it within, I want you to watch out and pray for opportunities that within your own circle of influence, the people that you see almost every day, watch and pray for an opportunity to share how you encountered Jesus. See, the good news is that the gospel is not death. It's life, and life to the fullest. Jesus said to Martha, Mary's sister, in John 11, verse 21, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Notice the emphasis on live. Notice the emphasis on live. You don't have to wait to experience that life until you die. You can experience it right now. There's a really awesome quote, and I'm going to mess it up because I didn't plan on sharing this, but there's a really awesome quote by a guy named Dallas Willard, who's one of my favorite authors. And somebody asked him, Dallas, what would you say to people who just want to accept the minimum requirements so that they can get into heaven when they die? And Dallas said, well, Jesus wants heaven to get into you before you die. We can accept the life that the gospel has for us, the gospel that Jesus preached. Jesus' gospel, if you go through the New Testament, the gospel that Jesus preached wasn't only the forgiveness of sins, it was the availability of the kingdom of heaven now. We can experience that life in the kingdom now. So if you have doubt in your heart today, but you are open to an encounter with Jesus, I would ask you to take the risk and just pray this simple prayer with me. In fact, I want us all to just pray this together. Okay? So repeat after me. Risen Jesus, I set my doubt aside and ask you to encounter me today. Let's pray it one more time. Risen Jesus, I set my doubt aside and ask you to encounter me today. I asked everybody to pray that prayer because people, it's not like Christians who are already followers of Jesus don't have doubt either. If you took the risk and prayed that prayer, not just from your mouth, but also from your heart, I would simply ask you to tell someone so we can continue to pray with you that Jesus reveals himself to you in his perfect timing. Because I know he will. And I know that all doubt will dissipate. Because everything that Jesus said is 100% true. I want to invite the worship team back, and I just want to close in prayer now. Father, I ask you to begin to disperse doubt right now in the name of Jesus. I pray in our everyday walking around life that we would have encounters with you. Particularly, I pray over people who are struggling with doubt. Father, I pray for Apostle Paul kind of experiences where all doubt disappears and these people become a force for your kingdom. Resurrected Jesus, words could never, ever express our love and gratitude that you gave up heaven to come and die on a cross so that our sins would be forgiven and you make the kingdom of heaven available to us now. That we could walk with you and learn from you in spirit. Father, that we could, Jesus, that we could become apprentices to you. That we could grow in you and learn and watch and see how you do it and then do that on our own, following in your footsteps so that others may know you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, and everybody said, amen, amen. Amen.
You are listening to the official podcast of The Mission Redlands. For more information, visit us at themissionredlands.com.